Welcome to the Spiritual Shit Podcast with your host, Alia Lovely. This is a place where we discuss the spiritual, the mystical, and the magical of the human experience. I will give you personal insights on this podcast and interviews and card readings to help you think about the critical questions we are facing in these complicated times and to shed light on the concerns of the collective. Here, I will take what was woo-woo to the mainstream, so no topic is ever off limits, to have authentic and thought-provoking conversations to help you think about spirituality and how it affects our humanity in a variety of ways. We will laugh, we will cry, and most importantly, we will think about our inherent resilience, transformation, perseverance, and highlight the limitless possibilities that exist within each of us. I want to inspire you to push beyond your own limits of comfort and strive for an open mind, no matter the odds. I hope to encourage you to embrace your potential and pursue your dreams with an element of fun, spirituality, and humanity. Remember to like and subscribe to never miss an episode and review and share so others can be inspired as well. To connect with me personally, go to thelovelyalia.com or join my Patreon at patreon.com/thelovelyalia for behind the scenes extra content for the show and our monthly forum to find like-minded souls to discuss your own spiritual journey. Follow me at Instagram at thelovelyalia as well as YouTube for video podcasts. And thank you so much for joining me on this journey. So let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Spiritual Shit. I'm your host, Alia Lovely, and today we have here Adeyemi Adeosoye, a quantum coach that helps bridge spirituality with the scientific principles of the universe. What's up, my man?
Hey, 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 how are you doing? So excited to be here.
So beautiful. Excited to have you. So me and your friends, so we go beyond just the interview process. However, you have this virility on the internet, where you're able to kind of break down these concepts that have really, really high, like flighty, interesting spiritual chunkiness to them and bringing them down to earth so people can understand them. And when I told my audience I was going to have you on the show, like I got a lot of DMs that were like, oh, we're so excited to hear him talk about the quantum field and manifestation. So we're going to get into all that today. But before we get into that, like what has been your journey to get to this place where you kind of consider yourself an expert on some of these topics?
Brilliant. First of all, good to be here. And yes, we are friends off camera beforehand. what makes me an expert? I can't even say that I am, if I'm being really honest. Like I have a never-ending chase for more authenticity, right? And that's something that's always developing for me. And if you ask me, what is my real mission? What is the thing that's driving me is to get into a deeper sense of authenticity with myself and my true being, right? And that journey process started with me growing in Nigeria, being born in Nigeria, right? To beautiful parents who were actually quite spiritual, but actually realizing from a very early on stage that I just saw things a little bit differently. I was always curious about this spiritual thing. I was always curious about what the manifestations that protected my families from gunshots and these, and we can get into all of that later on, what that energy was, right? So for me, how am I able to do this and bring things down? It's really authenticity is going, do I feel this? Is this true for me? Does this resonate? And then translating that through my speech or whatever I put out into the world. So it's a constant chase of authenticity and really trying to get to what resonates for me. Now, bearing in mind, I have a tech background and I studied engineering and blah, blah, blah. So I'm used to getting things into a logical framework. That's a bit of an insight into that.
Mm-hmm. But where did you, like in that process, because you started a tech company, what happened to that tech company that then shifted and wafted you into this space professionally?
Got it. I worked in a tech company. So I've been in the spiritual zone for 12-ish years now, right? And it started, my father was in a secret society, actually. And he gave me a book on manifestation. Yes, I don't want to mention. but I did mention. Yeah. So he gave me a book on, I actually have never shared that, but he gave me a book on, I think it was Three Magic Words by U.S. Anderson. That kicked things off for me. In my journey, I used to be a cleaner. I used to clean floors in Germany, right? I lived in the States. Things went really bad. And the catastrophes that happened in my life were introductions into my higher being. And throughout my journey, I started working at a tech company. Didn't start one, but I was in really early stage tech company. I was super successful. And one of them changed to another, was super successful. But there was something that was missing in my life. I felt this, it felt like there was more, but I didn't know how to get to more. right? My relationship was good, but it was also kind of crashing. My work was good, but I wasn't necessarily fulfilled with that. And the question that came to mind was, am I willing to let all of this go? The moment I started doing that was when things like plant medicine came into my sphere. And when I surrendered into that path, a whole new world opened up for me. And I realized that the tech career, the things I was doing before were protective mechanisms protecting me from stepping into what I actually really wanted to do and what I've been doing since I was a little boy, which was really getting into spirituality and helping people understand and process things that they just haven't really thought about in the same way I think about them. And the moment I started allowing that to come through, then that birthed the whole process of me having to shed layers of beliefs that were stopping me from stepping into my spiritual path. And since the more I've done that, I'm probably at the happiest. I mean, you know this. I'm probably at the happiest, most fulfilled place I've been. And I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
Until you evolve again, and then
Which is happening right now. But now the evolution is happening within the same sphere. It's a deepening of my own connection to even more authenticity, asking again, what do I really want to birth? And yes, it is always a new evolution, it's always a new process. But now, instead of trying to drive that change, I'm just surrendering to where the universe is directing me. It's a very different thing.
Right.
Surrender versus drive, it's a very different thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm playing with right now.
It's a beautiful thing to process, right? Because the idea we are talking today about how to be your most authentic self and what that looks like. But when we talk through manifestation and the ideals of manifestation, what often happens is that we tend to manifest inauthentic desires. We tend to
Yes.
go after things that society says that we should want, or this is what success is, our definition of success is. So, how did you, and also how would you instruct people to figure out what does it mean to be your authentic self? So, when you are trying to manifest, you're asking from a place of authentic need or
It
desire.
took me a while. So the question is, how do I help? What would I tell people to help them get into more authenticity with themselves?
Right. What did you do? And yeah, how would you tell that?
Got it. For me, again, really, it's plant medicine. And I'm not going to turn this into a plant medicine show, right? But it's one of those things that introduced me into a higher vibration within myself. And it got me to ask the question, do I really want this? And this meant the career in the tech field. This meant life as I knew it before. This meant the standard path. And when I got into that frequency of full bliss within my body, and I asked myself if I was feeling that bliss in my life, the bravery came in being able to say no. I see this with a lot of clients I work with where they know they're being inauthentic. They know they're out of authenticity, but they don't want to name it.
Why is
And
that?
for some reason, there's real separation where once you name it and you declare it, all of a sudden you have to do something about it. You're in a relationship you don't enjoy. Spirit is telling you to leave. You keep defending the man or the woman or whatever is the case. And you don't want to actually name out loud that, hey, I am unhappy in this. Because the moment you say I'm unhappy in this, you've declared that into the field. And now you start seeing it from a completely different perspective. But that, even that speaking it out is an action,
Right.
right? So sometimes what happens with people when I'm trying to get them into more authenticity, I go, well, let's just actually go with declaring it emphatically in the physical plane that you're being inauthentic right now, right? Or this is not resonating with you.
Right.
That is 50% of the work because the next thing that happens is your brain automatically starts looking for options for you, right? And
Yeah.
now you have to just surrender into whatever options come next. I'll give you an example. I talked to you about this, right? I had this community, the Soul School, where we had 100 and something individuals there. I've had probably 6,000 people inquire about that community in the last 6 months. There's been a path to blow it up to be super successful. And a couple of weeks back, I got redirected to meet a partner of mine in the border of Russia and Lithuania.
Yeah.
And we initially went there to think about how to take the Soul School to the next level of evolution, right? Two men sitting in, really going through a strategy session. Day one came around and we sat there, looked at the pros and cons of what we wanted to do with the Soul School. And then the question I asked myself was, is this really what I want to do? And that's a question I've been avoiding for a while. right? And sitting there and saying, you know what, this does not feel authentic for me, and allowing myself to just declare that out loud meant the next thing was to take an action that was more in alignment and in authenticity with me, which meant closing it down and pivoting and going to a different direction. And there is a lot of unknowns. This is one of the reasons people are stuck being inauthentic, is because there's also an unknown on the other side of it. But as soon as you allow yourself to declare openly that you are not okay with where you are, whatever you are doing right now is not in 100% alignment with your truth, then you can open the door for spirit to show you exactly what you need to do next. And the way you know you're getting into authenticity, your body would naturally have energy for that thing. So this is a long-winded way of saying that it all comes down to the energy response of your body. And when you're in authenticity, in alignment with your soul's purpose, it's an endless flow of energy. That's how I feel.
Right.
It just constantly pours out of me. When it's not in alignment and it's inauthentic, I have to force the universe to work in my favor.
And I love that as an idea, because when I always tell my clients that if you're forcing anything, you're not manifesting it. There's
yes.
not that allowing where it's actually allowed to come in or show itself to you in any way. It reminds me of with my ex, like there was, the signs were all there. The friends were going, hey, maybe you don't want to be in that relationship. And I was like, I already know I don't want to be in this relationship, but I can't admit it. I can't say it to anybody out loud because that would require me to take action. That would require me to be accountable to that particular thing. And I remember the day that I was like, okay, I need to be able to say it out loud in order for there to be accountability. So I told my ex's brother's best friend that I was like, I'm going to end this, because he doesn't have the quietest mouth. And I knew that at some point it was going to get back to them. So I was like, I need this accountability to know that there's a time limit to which I need to be able to end this particular relationship and leave. But I know for a lot of us, especially when we're talking about manifesting, we don't know what we want. We get to a space where we get into something and we're like, I think this is what I want. And then we get there, we expand into it and say, I don't want this anymore. So like, talk to me about your clientele when they found themselves in that place where now I'm in something that I don't want to be in. And yes, I've named it, but like, how do I do what's best for me? How do I honor myself and my process in order to get to that alignment point?
Got it. Two things come up for me when I'm working with people on this, right? And I coach a whole range of people from decamillionaires all the way to people who are at the start of their journey. And the reason I bring up the money aspect is because money is a sign of your energetic mastery in many ways, right? Of course, it can be lopsided, but that's a different conversation. So one of the things that I coach people on is, again, we go to the soul and go, what is their soul really trying to bring forward? Whether that's through medicine, whatever we use to get there. The next question, though, is can you do what's required? And I think people underestimate how significant and how much the spiritual journey requires. Right? Like when people look at Jesus Christ, it's like, oh my God, he's all love, father of, son of the father, whatever you want to say. And it doesn't matter whether you're religious or not. Every single religious figure, every single spiritual leader in our lifetime had to do what was required. It is not an easy path. Right? So for me, with clients, when it becomes to, hey, we've started to align and figure out that there is a very different frequency that's coming out for you, and your authentic frequency is actually somewhere else. And by the way, the reason why we need to be in this authentic frequency is because it's the strongest frequency we can emit as human beings. It's 4,000 times stronger than the frequency of love. So the more authentic you are, the faster you can get everything that is for you. But it's going to require you to do what's required, which is the shifting process. So for me, I'm a little bit more masculine in that sense. I'm a little bit harder, where it's almost binary when we get into that, right? And this is why when I pick who I work with, it's very much, does this person have the fortitude to do what's required? Because spirit is going to ask you to do some tough things. It is going to ask you to trust, right? But it is in that process of doing what's required and trusting a path that you're not necessarily sure of. That's what introduces you into your higher self, in my experience. So it really comes down to that. And if the question is, how do they action that authenticity? It's not easy. First of all, no one said it was going to be easy. How do you manifest something that you don't know if it's not going to be easy? That's the path, right? And again, this whole thing of sometimes you manifest things that are not for you. I like to look at it like Google Maps. If I asked you right now, I think you're in Kansas, right?
Missouri.
Missouri. Got
Kansas
it.
City, yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
So
we just won the Super Bowl.
Got it. Amazing. Chiefs, go Chiefs. If I ask you to map your way to New York, I promise you, you do not know the way there, right? Now, on Google Maps, it's going to tell you go straight for 3 miles and then turn right and then turn left. And you're going to have certain roads that you're on for 75 miles and certain roads that you're on for 300 meters. That is the same process spirit goes through, right? It's a very left, right, trust, follow the map, and really submit into that process. And that's kind of what I guide my clients through. Doesn't matter. You might get to a point thinking that's your destination, only to realize you have to go off the highway and go through a sequential set of turns to get to another destination. That is the path. Commit to it and just surrender and actually start enjoying the journey instead of thinking there's a destination to this thing called life. There is no destination. The destination is the other side, right? So every step of the way, it's a continuous rediscovery of life and joy and existence. That's how I see it.
I mean, I like that though, because especially the example, because we think we're on some road for 100 miles and we're like, all right, well, this is it. Like, this is kind of it. And you're like, oh, and actually now you're gonna have to turn and go off road here. You might have to stop at a lake and you might have to do this. And I think that some of those unplanned, you know, detours, we'll say we didn't trust Google Maps at that time. And we turned off in a different path and it ended up being rockier than we thought it was. It doesn't mean that we're not still having some way to get there, but we might need to check where we're not surrendering, where we're not in alignment with that. Talk to me about the frequency you see.
Yes. Because
this concept, I think it was on a reel or something I saw of yours.
Yes, your frequency is the frequency you see around you.
Yeah.
You know, this is super interesting. I do a lot of stuff around content, right? And it's so funny that even the people I follow now and the kind of things I surround myself on, it has to be something that's raising my frequency. I don't even want to see things that are not at a frequency I want to be at, because the things you your frequency is the things you frequently see.
Right.
Right. And the idea is very, very direct in that, where the more repetition you have in your field and the more times you see the same thing, it's ultimately what you're going to become, because you're programming yourself. Every single image that you put in your eyes, every single thing you look at is programming you in some way, shape, or form. So if you're surrounded by people, by things, by ideas, by philosophies that are not pushing you to a higher level of thinking and thought and level of consciousness, you're devolving, right? So that's a catchphrase. Your frequency is what you frequently see. Right. Everyone can remember that. The implementation of that comes back to what we are saying, where really look around you. What is constantly coming into your field? And also, whatever is constantly coming into your field, realize that that's probably a projection of exactly what you are. Now, when you start doing the work to change yourself internally, you must also do the work to change yourself externally. Because yes, it would manifest in the external, but do the external cleanup. Otherwise, if you do internal work to change your frequency and raise your vibration, and you keep the same things that hold you in that old frequency, your friends, your relationships, where you live, blah, 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 how you live, you're actually going to counteract the impact of the inner work you're doing. So I like to think about it as a mirror. It's, yes, it's a catchphrase, but there's so many implementations. There's implementation on what it means for your own personal and how it projects, and what it means for the external and how you take care of whatever comes and gets an imprint or gets the ability to imprint your psyche in any shape and any time. And for me, I'm quite militant about that, where I would not even have someone on my social media profile if when I look at them, I don't feel invited to a higher level of consciousness or a higher level of being in some area of my life. I don't want to see you. And
or funny memes.
I mean, I like to laugh. I will do a Dave Chappelle thing. And we talked about Bernie Mac initially. I'll go watch the Kings of Comedy when I want to. And the funny thing is, like, you know, I come off as this very serious person, and I really am most of the time. But I love to have my jokes. I love to have fun. I love to engage. But the standard around me that I surround myself needs to be on the standard that I see myself internally. Otherwise, I just end up working backwards and I find myself devolving very fast.
That's so interesting. And I agree with you, but I have a caveat to ask about. Sure. How do you talk to people about that without getting them into the space where they might be spiritually bypassing, where they don't are not able to, because we have those people like, I'm not going to look at the news. I'm not going to look at this. I'm not going to get involved in that. And that's fine. Like 100% support that. At the same time, being a human and being involved in the world, how do you exist in this human dimension while you're trying to excel your spiritual features?
Ask the question in a different way, please. Let me get it.
This
from
is
a
my
different
show. No. You're not running things around. I can expand. If I'm to hold myself to a really high regard and
yes.
look at all the things that are influencing me, the ways that I consume my media, my friendships, my relationships, all of that. If I find myself in a place where I'm needing to engage with my world. So say I have family members that are toxic. Do I just cut them out completely? Is there a way to deal with them in a way that I can still raise my vibration and be on the spiritual path while engaging with my human world? Is there some inner work that I need to do in order to find a neutral point to what I'm
Yes.
watching in the news to be able to not take that in and allow it to devolve me? Can I still be engaged with the world with still ascending spiritually?
I think it's a balance, right? If you sit there and watch the news every single day and you sit there and consume 6 hours of it, unless you are the Buddha, I think it's going to be very difficult for you to hold your frequency at. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with family, because this is one, right? I deal with a lot of people who have deep family trauma and there's something that needs to get shifted there.
Mm-hmm.
I had some of this and some back and forth with my own family. And I actually see family as the playground of spiritual evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't think when people tell me and I see people that they bypass their family and they try to avoid the conflict, I think that's one of the best places to be at, because the way I see family contracts is you had a contract between your family, and because of the amount of love that you had on the other side and the close connection of your souls on the cellular plane, they were able to come in, and even if they inflicted some level of trauma on you, that's actually to aid in your own transformation and in your own evolution, right? So there's an inherent love based on the polarity of that. So when things like that happen and you say, to go back to the point on bypassing, and do you just avoid and cut everybody off? No, because if that's something that someone has to do, where they have to cut family off and they're completely intolerant, then they're actually not doing any spiritual work at all. And the idea for me is to get to a point where you're unperturbed by situations around you.
Mm-hmm.
The way I measure my spiritual development is when I can get into chaos, and instead of devolving into chaos and having and taking on that energy, I can be flat.
Mm-hmm.
I can be just absolutely flat through it and just be connected to my higher self. Now, with news is a little bit different, because that's specifically designed to program you into a negative frequency. Like it's specifically based on the music, based on the delivery, based on the punchlines. But things like family and the situations and the general chaos of life, I actually have this thing. This is one of my bone of contentions within the spiritual world, is we are not here to be removed from life. I'm not here to be the spiritual person on a mountain saying I'm spiritual. In my opinion, I think there's this thing about it where they say the yogi who knows how to levitate in the forest is actually selfish, because it doesn't help anybody.
Right.
Right. He could have half of his spiritual development be in the world and actually help a lot more people move forward.
Right.
I believe in becoming a full point in the universe. And the idea here is when you become a 3D and fully embodied 3D version of yourself in the world, you become a point. You master relationships, you master money, you master all of these things. And then you give it all and you become a wave when you go back into the 5D plane. The idea here is it's no bypassing. I don't believe in that. I believe in actually using the world as the playground to enhance your frequency. Again, your frequency is what you frequently see.
Mm-hmm.
That also gives you it's like a Lego piece that you can engage with the world in a way where, huh, interesting. This person came on and it did this to me internally. Cool, let me learn from that and realize there's something in there that's resonating with that, with whatever that person has done for me to attract it. Let's go transmute that. Now I have fun with the challenges life throws at me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have fun with someone honking at me and going, okay, cool. How can I be unperturbed by this?
Yeah.
Right. And it becomes a dance. So mm-hmm. now someone starts to get aggressive at you in the real world and you're laughing.
Yeah.
Now you're starting to really get to this practiced higher level. And the real good thing about this is, rather than bypassing and achieving some artificial level of spiritual evolution, here you're actually raising not just your spiritual peaks, you're raising your spiritual baseline. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because you're not you're literally raising your standard level of being. Mm-hmm. So yes, you have to fully partake in the world. Just don't watch the news for 6 hours because
Well,
that's
that's what people
designed to put you
do.
back.
They get on Instagram and they're on there for hours and then they end up being like taken by that. What's really interesting about like your frequency is the thing you frequently see is that in my opinion, the universe is completely neutral. That's just how I see it. But our perception of it is what colors what we see. And so the frequency, I think some people would take what that catchphrase and be like, oh, well, when I raise my vibration, I won't see any of this stuff anymore because the universe won't be giving it to me anymore. But in fact, what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the universe will still give you what you need in order to progress, like through your challenges and whatnot. You'll just see it differently. That person honking at you instead will be okay, it won't be the same.
It would actually help you reinforce your frequency. It would help you reconnect back. There's a level you get to where you just start floating through life. And again, no matter what happens in your life, no matter the chaos, you're surrendered. So let's go into surrender. Why is it tough for a lot of people to surrender, for example, and step into deeper authenticity? There's a version of them that's still stuck in the lower frequency. And when the universe starts to invite you into that, what we are saying here in terms of actually engaging with the world, seeing it from a higher vantage point where you are disconnected from the negativity, but you can observe it and transcend it. Actually, the real thing here is I call this charge transmutation.
Ooh,
I
let's talk
see
about this because
people,
I like this concept. You talked about it before.
I see people and I see myself as a charge transmuter. And the more positive you get by virtue of polarity, you're probably going to attract more, potentially more negative, right? But the idea here is to really achieve higher spiritual flow and higher spiritual mastery. You're going through the world, and whatever you attract, my job is to take that negative impulse from the sphere, put it through my filters, and turn it into a positive. Now I become a transmuter for the universe that takes some of the negative dense energy of the world and transfers it into positive. As a result of that, I'm working in the good of the universe. I become, the way I see it, I become a vehicle of transformation in the universe. As a result of that, I get more. It doesn't mean I don't get more response. It doesn't mean I don't have more pressures. Of course I do. But if I can keep transmuting whatever negative energy comes in front of me into my life, into positive outcome, into positive views, into positive thoughts, and contributing to the egregore of positivity of the universe, now I'm in flow. That's how I see this thing. And a lot of people get negative impulse and they go, oh, it was negative, so I have to push negative back out into the world. No, it comes into you. You are the filter and the barrier. Internally, through your chakras, through whatever is coming up, you get to transmute that and turn that into positive back into the world. You do that, all of a sudden, you just get to a point where your father says something that you really don't like that's been offending you. All of a sudden, it holds no charge anymore because you've transmuted all of the charge within you that was resonating with that charge in the first place. And once that's done, you start going to higher levels.
I like that because there's something, what is this? Consciousness is a multiplier. There's no charge. The idea of that pendulum swing. And I think you said something about like the amount of hate that we see in the world is the amount of love that we see because of the swing. Can you explain that?
This is the law of polarity, Hermetic principles, right? And
Which, wait a minute.
you have the Kybalion. Amazing.
And the Hermetica.
Beautiful.
So,
That Kybalion book is so interesting because it's a tiny book, right? For anyone who's an audio, it's a tiny book.
It's
But
not.
the implementation, when I mapped it out, I have like a 4-hour course in this where you can solve any problem with the seven laws. Because you can literally ask which of these laws are off in my business. Anyway, back to your point on the polarity. What was the question again?
The amount of hate you see in the world is the amount of love you. It's something you said actually on an
Got
interview,
it.
and I was wanting to clarify that.
Polarity is everything is a half truth, right? Everything in the world, there are two sides to the coin every single time. Same amount of love is the same amount of hate. It's actually something I think about where, because polarity is an inherent law, it's like darkness and light. What happens in the tropic? There's 12 hours of darkness, there's 12 hours of light. There is the same amount of love as there is amount of hate. You get to choose the frequency you resonate with. And yes, we're going to get into a very dicey space fast, when we start to look at wars and all the different things going on, and there are levels to that, it can get quite intricate, actually. But yes, they are two equal forces, two equal energies in the world. And you really get to choose which one you want to resonate with. And where it gets really interesting is when you start thinking about, does that mean if you love more, you create more hate, or if you hate more, you create more love? Again, that's
good question.
It's a slippery slope, because to explain that and to actually dance with that concept, now you start to add the dimensions, right? 3D, yeah. 4D, 5D, and what happens on the different planes, and also what's happening with the spiritual warfare, if you may, that's going on in the world, right? And how that can translate between the different layers of dimensions. But anyway, yes, I fully believe in the law of polarity. I see it across the board. And I use this concept in my life and in everything I do, mm-hmm. right? And I think about it very deeply, of just what are the opposites playing out?
Is the goal to be neutral?
Between love and hate, I choose love.
I mean, yeah, but in all aspects of, if, you know, we were dancing with that. And I love those little snickerty questions that we get sometimes, where it's like, ugh, like there's so much nuance and dynamic to that. But the idea is that, okay, if that is a law, then we have this idea of like creating the love. Is it creating more hate? Whatever. Is the goal to be neutral? And I mean, yes, I would choose love. I'm going to choose money. I'm going to choose relationship, things like that. But in our emotional life, let's say, like, that might be a place to start. Is the goal to be neutral? Because, okay, for instance, me and my husband were talking the other day, and I was so super frustrated about seeing an abortion ban situation that I was watching or whatever. It's delivered, handpicked, delivered to me in my Instagram. And I started getting angry because it was Missouri who passed it, and I live in this state, and the votes and things that I'm involved with are affected here. Yeah. And so I was, you know, sounding off on that and talking to my husband about it. And he has this thing where he's like, you know, it's the Lord's way, babe. Like, or he's joking, of course. But I'm like, why won't you ride the roller coaster with me? Like, that makes me feel agitated. Like, because I'm not obviously angry with him, but it reinforces the ideals. I've come from a Christian background, of those triggers that exist within me. And it's almost like, yeah, he's bringing to light the area that I'm actually fighting with. And I'm like, why won't you ride the roller coaster with me? Like, ride it with me. And he's like, I won't. Like, that energy, he's more stoic. He tends to be more neutral, and that's a more comfortable space for him. But because y'all are very similar, the back and forth, the feeling of like, there's two sides to every coin kind of thing. And so he starts discussing that with me, and I'm just like, ah, you know, I'm a Cancer. Like, I'm emotional. Like, sometimes I get into that emotional wave and space. But I've found that if I do try to really segment myself to a more neutral position, that in fact, I haven't mastered neutrality. I already know that about myself, but the neutral aspect calls me to suppress what I'm feeling. And calls me to, there are moments where I can definitely feel that neutrality and its alignment. But for people who are listening to this, who haven't mastered that, what are ways that they can get to that? Because I think we live in a world that begs for that emotional attention, that begs, yes, for that reactiveness. And if we're trying to live a better life, or at least even get into the pendulum swing that's swung a little bit more in that more positive direction, we'd have to get out of the negative and be somewhere in the neutral before we could progress to that positive. How do you do that?
So many things come up on that, right? Because now it's actually not polarity we're dealing with here. We're dealing with pendulums.
Yes.
And Vadim Zedev, whatever his name is, Reality Transurfing, talks about this. It's like a 700-page book. And it talks about the pendulums in life. And this whole back and forth, positive, negative, abortion, no abortion, it's a pendulum. Mm-hmm. It's designed to suck energy out of you, mm-hmm, right? Love, hate, Israel, Palestine, pendulum. It sucks energy. That's all a pendulum does, is it consumes energy in your life.
Right.
Right? It's like an egregore, a thought form that you ascribe to. And because you've ascribed to it, it's designed to suck energy out of you. When your husband goes into neutrality, in that state, what's actually happening is you're going, I can do something about this. Mm-hmm. And of course, when we get into the nuance, to be specific on Missouri, it's right, there are going to be people who can't leave the state, and there's so many things back and forth. But you can either argue it, or you can have a choice, or you could decide to leave. Because even as Missouri is doing that, I promise you there's another state that's going the other way. That's the pendulum forming in America. And America is huge for pendulums, right?
Yeah.
Within the media, within wars, within conflicts, back and forth. It's designed to suck your energy. I don't ascribe to pendulums anymore, because the more pendulums you ascribe to, and this is generally where you have to pick one side, you can't be in between an abortion. It's like you're either pro or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very binary thing. And they're designed to force you to make a choice. I choose not to make a choice. Mm-hmm. I choose, cool, Missouri did that. Is that enough for me to leave the state? Yes, it is. I'm out. Gone.
Mm-hmm.
For example, H&M, the ad they did about the black boy a while back. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the monkey thing.
Never been to H&M since then.
Uh-huh.
I just decided, you know what? Is that enough for me to actually stop patronizing these individuals? I have no energy with them. It's not, there's no negativity. I just want, you know, I actually want to change,
mm-hmm.
made the change. My point here is, do you want to be neutral? Not in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
I love this verse. There's a verse in the Bible. Don't remember it specifically or the title specifically, but it says, you either be lukewarm or hot.
Yeah.
Or you either be cold or hot. If
and
you're
spit
lukewarm,
out
I
of your
spit
mouth.
You out, right? And I really love that, because there are certain aspects in your life where choose something, choose your flow, choose how you want to be. But when you see the pendulum of life form where something is just sucking your energy and it's disconnecting and removing your choice, where you go, oh, I'm in Missouri, this has happened, you feel a certain way. If you feel like you don't have the power to do something about it, that's probably because you've subscribed too deeply to the pendulum. And
mm-hmm.
yes, it's terrible. There is somewhere else in the world where a completely different reality is taking place. I choose to follow that reality, and I choose to stay neutral in such situations and connect to my power to choose and to completely decide what I want for my life.
Wow. I agree with that, but I feel resistance
That's all right.
In that, which is okay. I feel resistance, mostly because I know that there are people who often feel they don't have choice. Maybe they don't have the abundance to leave, where, you know, their family, whatever situation that they're in. Obviously, for me personally, in my own belief systems, I know that there are certain contracts that we come in contact with of things that we want to learn. And sometimes, at least personally, I think, like, there are things that, like, we're supposed to learn these particular things. We might not even choose some of these things. Some of these things are divinely guided or ordained before we come into this existence. And that might be something we have to deal with. I don't know if we necessarily choose it or not, or if it's pressed upon us, but, you know, it's either here or there. But the idea for others that are listening, when they're in a situation where they're trying to better connect with what they want in their life, what's going to make a good life for them, like you're saying, that like you just need to make a decision and choose, correct?
I know it's not that easy, right? And I can tell from the way you asked the question, you know it's not that easy.
I know it's
to
not
your,
that
to your point on, I could sense that was coming, like where you mentioned about there are going to be people who can't move and things like that. Of course,
mm-hmm.
I'm very aware of that. I'm also very aware, and I appreciate the soul contract angle. And it's one of the things I look at where I go, and in some ways, it can be selfish where you go, you know what? That's not my soul contract. So I'm going to live a different soul contract of mine. I'm not going to get into someone else's pendulum. I'm going to go live mine. If it pushes me in that way, that's just what I'm going to live. So I resonate with that very strongly. I still think people should identify what is in their soul contract path and go live that. That is the energy for you in this sphere. Go double down on that.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to someone changing their life, them making the decision, I think for me, yes, it all starts with a decision. It starts with an openness to surrender into. When I keep saying surrender, you know, surrender has this notion of a weak word. I surrender. Oh, I'm weak. I'm just going to lay down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult process. It's
right.
an active process that activates trust in the divine.
Right.
It's an active process of having deep trust, listening, and being open, willing, and ready to act on the impulse of the divine.
Right.
It's actually a very difficult process.
Yes. We have whole episodes devoted just to surrender.
Got
and
it.
People are always angry about it.
So however anyone wants to change their life, what worked for me was to first of all say, you know what? I'm not happy. Do I want change? Yes, I do. Am I willing and ready to go down whatever path It's going to take. Yes, I am. Is it going to hurt? Yes, it is. Let's get on with that. That's step one. Now, when I make that decision within myself, I start to listen to the universe and go, where is it guiding me? This is why I love human design, because it tells you how do you react and interact with the universe, right? I'm a manifesting generator. I start testing stuff out and then I wait and I go, huh, what is the response?
Right.
And when I'm in that state where I've made the decision to change, I know I'm going to do what's required. I know I'm going to manifest. I know I'm going to connect to the higher planes and all of that. I am literally waiting, and I'm getting into this point where the next challenge for me and for a lot of people is discernment. Can you discern the right signal to act on? So you make the decision, you surrender to whatever is going to come, you start fielding options, paths, whatever that is. But now you have to get really sensitive to your body and how it responds to the right opportunity for you. This is how you jump in the quantum field. And now when you get that little flutter of excitement because your body goes, that is for me, and you step into that and you've been able to discern that properly, now you just keep going. And I don't even think about the end goal as much anymore. I want to enjoy the process and I'm going with that flow. And every time I do that, a door could close, a window opens.
Right.
There's no windows, there are no doors, the whole wall falls by the time I get there. Because what you're also doing is there's something with quantum tunneling, right? Quantum tunneling is this phenomenon in the quantum space where an atom or quanta element, when it's heading towards an obstacle, even though it doesn't have enough energy within it to overcome the obstacle, as it gets there, it would borrow energy from the field to overcome the obstacle. It would sporadically and randomly borrow energy from the field, and no one knows necessarily where it comes from.
Yeah.
It just accumulates that energy and jumps the obstacle. That's what happens when you burn the boats and you commit to the path and you show up with that energy and you discern the right signal for you. The thing you need to overcome the obstacle would come. But you have to have full trust and full flow in that process. So that's how I change my life.
Yeah.
I surrender, I listen, I go. And things people tell me that it's impossible to do, I'm like, watch me. And I just start, and somehow, some way, it manifests itself.
Yeah.
That's my journey.
I love that as a process and as a point, because I've seen that happen in my own life. So I didn't know what to call it, but there'd be these moments where I was like, well, looks kind of impossible. I forced and pushed and tried to do everything that I could do, and it's out of my hands. And it becomes this place where then you actually surrender. I need to get better at like surrendering before I'm at the defeated point. A lot of us need that. But that idea of being able to let go because you're in that trust space. I remember when I was trying to gather the money to go to Bali. I knew I needed to be in Bali. I knew it was going to be a really important, special time. It is the crux of the explosion of this podcast and my spiritual journey. Yeah. So I knew I needed to be there at this particular time, but did not have the money to do so. So I had enough money to get my plane ticket, but not enough money for the trip to be there for 2 months. And I was like, I have no idea how this is going to come. So I would do sales on my photography. I was like, I'll pick up extra shift here. I'll do this. I'll do that. Nothing was enough to bring that money in. And I was like, all right, well, it's out of my hands. Like, universe, if you want me to go, you're going to have to figure it out. You'll figure it out. And then I met up with a girlfriend of mine who we weren't super close at the time. She was like, let's meet for brunch. And it was like December 23rd. It was right before Christmas. We sat down for brunch. We're drinking peppermint tea. And she's like, I got you something, and hands me a check for $1,000.
Wow.
And I was just like, what? I mean, of course the tears are like pouring out of my face. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I know you're really trying to go on this trip. I think it'd be really good for you. Like, if you run out of money while you're down there, let us know. We've got you. And I was like, what? Like, I've only spent like a few hours with this person in totality, but she saw the need and was the way that I ended up going on this incredible trip that changed the entire course of my life. She's an angel to me. And now we're best friends. So, but that element of the trust of saying, all right, well, the thing that I want, I'm like, I talk to so many clients, you know, I'm trying to have a baby. I'm trying to get a house. We're trying to do this. I'm trying to get this job, whatever the thing is. And it's like, how much comfort do you feel in being able to say, universe, what do you have for me?
I love that. But I want to highlight that if you didn't actually claw your way to try to get that, you probably wouldn't have gotten that money from your friend because she probably saw you trying and talking about it and trying to figure it out. And then something spoke to her. So yes, there is trust, but there is also this thing of you trusted enough to go through the process and to keep trying, even though it didn't look possible, and you surrendered in an active way in that process and in that journey.
That's an important distinction.
What, the active surrender?
Surrender in the active way. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's surrender is not a, this is what I'm saying. It's not weak.
Right.
Surrender is active. Surrender is, okay, this is the path. I don't know what's going down here, but I'm going to run as fast as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Bashar talks about it, right? It's like do the thing of your highest, the thing of your highest calling that gives you the highest emotional whatever. Do it for as long as you can until you can't do it anymore and don't expect anything. You commit yourself fully to the process and you don't know what's at the end of it. It's active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the distinction for me that people think surrender is weak. Surrender is freaking strong. It's I don't know. And because I don't know, I am strong enough and I believe in the source enough. I'll give you an example. The way I look at this whole thing of business, right, or success, of going for something and manifestation is there is a brick wall in front of you. You and I both know it's a brick wall because we know who built the brick wall and we saw them buy the brick. We know how thick, in fact, it's a double brick wall. Can you run at that brick wall because Spirit told you to run at it at full speed?
Mm-hmm. Most likely not.
But this is the concept that comes to me, right? It's cool. You have $1,000 in your bank account. Can you run at Bali like it's there?
Yeah.
Can you believe this thing in? And if you operate from the vantage point that by the time I get to that wall, either I put on a juggernaut vest or it turns into a jelly. Either way, something's happening at the point of that wall. That is active surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge, huge thing for me. And I don't know how we got here, but that is how I believe in triggering the universe. This is the burning the boats thing. This is believing it in. This is brick wall. I had a point. I had $1,000 in my bank account. Someone owed me $20,000. I had no money. I had a $6,000 bill to pay for my clients. No clients were coming in. This person had owed me money for 5 months. I didn't know what to do. I was stuck. And I went, okay, I'm going to have to close down my business. And I went, don't know if I can swear on this show, but I was like, yeah, hell no, right? Cool.
You can say
spiritual shit. Yes, cool. So I was like, fuck. Right? I just realized, because I love to swear. It's there's so something so emphatic about it. So I got to the
swear
point
away.
Where I literally had like a grand, probably less than a grand in my bank account. Didn't know what was coming. And this people had owed me for over 5 months. And the person who owed me the money, I did not like him very much at that point in time. I stopped speaking to him. But what happened was because I was so focused that they were the only people that owed me money, I tunneled my focus of money to just that one thing. And I didn't connect to the abundance of the universe. So what I did was I went to go forgive that person the day before. And I went into a meditation and I completely let go and forgave. The next morning, it so happened I was dancing around, I was playing, I was having fun, I was blah, blah, blah. And I started listening to old Nigerian Yoruba music. I'm Nigerian, right? I'm Nigerian Hungarian. I was listening to old Yoruba music my dad used to play, and I was in a groove, dancing, whatever. And all of a sudden, I get a message from the head of account saying, the CEO has instructed us to pay you. I'm like, no way, but maybe this is going to take 5 days. I sent them my details. 5 minutes later, my Stripe account went doing. Check this out. Literally 15 seconds after, my name started being sung on the song.
Oh, wow.
And what it said, I didn't understand. And I've never heard my name on a song before. Mm-hmm. And I asked my father, I was like, what does that mean? He's like, Adeyemi that I love, Adeyemi that I loved.
A what? A day?
My name is Adeyemi.
Yes.
The Nigerian pronunciation is Adeyemi.
Okay.
And
okay.
Adeyemi that I love. Adeyemi that I love. So it was a confirmation with the universe. My point here is operate, ignore whatever you see. I've had moments in my life where I've had a grand in my bank account and I operate my business like I have. Like I literally ask myself, if I had $1 million in my account, what decision would I take right now? If I had 10 million in my account, what decision would I take? When I looked at the business I was going to pivot. I went, cool, if we have $1 billion in the bank account, what decision are we taking? This one, cool, take that one. Because we don't operate from the current reality. I operate from what does it need to be? How would it feel at that point? Can I go at that brick wall like it doesn't exist and trust that when I get the spirit is going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And that for me has been such a seismic shift in how I do things where, Alia, things happen. Because now we're triggering quantum tunneling every single time.
Yeah.
You know, this is a thing in the quantum field. You've heard the name for it. Now trigger it in your life. Understand this is a law. This is a thing in physics.
Yeah. You know, this is really powerful. And I feel like it's going to heal a lot of people. That aspect of the trust that's necessary. I said the other day, I was like, I'd really like to do this with my business, but anti-belief shows up. But like, who am I to do this? Or I don't have these numbers for people to think that I'm that we do all that to ourselves.
Sure.
But what happens? I know I'm going to get this question. So I ask the questions I know my audience is going to ask. And they're going to say, what happens if the thing that you're running after is not in alignment with what you're supposed to have? Do you just smack into the brick wall then?
I got you. I love how intimately you know your audience. That's beautiful.
Oh, I know. They'll DM me and be like, but what about? And
got it. For me, it started with understanding what my purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And I really trust. I trust my spirit so much that I'm like, look, if it's not for me, it's going to redirect me.
Right.
Spirit doesn't want to hurt me. It's going to redirect. This is why we go back to the point of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And look, at some point, let's be honest, like I'm a coach to people. I like to raise people's level of play. And at some point, let's call bullshit.
Mm.
Discern.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're on your spiritual journey. Ask yourself, is this my path? Does this resonate? Yes, it is. I don't know. Something wants me to trust this path. It's not your, we're not manifesting based on the ideals of how we need to create our life. We're not manifesting because we watched, what is the celebrity house show in LA? I forgot what it is.
Big Brother?
No, it's not the house. It's Selling Mansion, like, Selling Sunsets.
Oh, Selling Sunset, yeah.
we're not manifesting because we watch Selling Sunsets and all of a sudden that's what we want, right?
Right.
That's the general idea and how people manifest. But you really need to go down to yourself and go, what's getting me turned on? And you don't manifest based on the thing you want. I like to manifest based on living my purpose and being as successful mm-hmm. as I can be doing it. Identify the purpose. If you're not in there, and this is something that you're manifesting because your mother or your father or your friends or whoever told you to, call bullshit on yourself and be able to say, you know what? Guys, I actually don't want this thing. I don't want to be a billionaire. Cool. Pressure's off.
Yeah.
I don't want to be this person that I've been telling my husband and my friends I want to be for the last 10 years. Great. Pressure's off. And mm-hmm. now you step into authenticity. The people that are not for you are going to leave. Now you're in highest frequency. You're in highest frequency. Doors start to align that go down this path. And you are going to know because we're talking about discernment. So I think there's a point here where I get really passionate about this because I like to call bullshit on people very much. Where it's like, come on, like you're asking me a question where all I'm going to ask you back is, do you know 100% for sure that this is your path right now? This is where you need to be. If you say no, probably pull back. If you're saying yes, drive and trust the Google Maps to redirect you and tell you when to go left. And when you're heading for that brick wall and it says go left, go left. Go left. Listen.
For the love of God, go left.
You know, and then when it's telling you, hey, go in, don't worry, go in. And all of a sudden you come back and you're like, c'est pas possible, I pulled a hat trick. C'est pas possible, it's impossible. It's like, then you're in this flow. But discernment is super important, huh? Like,
yeah.
If there's one thing I can tell your audience, it's if there's one thing that's going to shift your whole life is to discern the energies around you, discern the people, their energies, their intention, your own energies, what's right or wrong for you, how your body rests, discernment. That is one thing that's lacking so much in the spiritual community.
Right. Woo.
And it's causing so much problem.
Yeah.
Because people go into situations where their body tells them not to be there. They ignore their sense of discernment. They quieten their voice and they get into shit shows.
Yeah. It's like another habit of religion. It's like just a different rung.
It's like, come on, guys.
Listen,
the number
yourself.
One thing, take it slow. Spirit moves very fast when you listen slowly.
That's a tweetable.
Tweetable. I love it. But think about it. It's Calm down. There is no rush here. The only time you feel rushed is you're off God's timeline. Spirit moves very quickly when you just, you know what? I trust you. All of a sudden, we're talking quantum leaps. You think you need to make that next sale. Spirit goes, wait, go bump into the person at Publix and see what happens. Trust. I have this in my life, and there are things where I don't want to share because they're in the manifestation point. And it was as little as turn left.
Like your trip.
Like my trip, like the one before, like there's, it's still forming and I don't share things until they're fully formed. So on the next podcast, I happily would. And it's literally, Alia, it's literally turn left, go back to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And me going, be fighting it for hours and finally go, you know what? I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm. At least it's just hours. Some of us are doing years over here. Another question that I know for
no
sure.
Comment.
Another question I know for sure they're going to ask is, how do they find their purpose? Now, I know we've talked around it, but the aspect of becoming your most authentic self, tapping into your higher self, that kind of thing. The question I get the most from people is, but how do I find my purpose? They often think that their purpose is a thing or a job or, you know, something like that. But what would you say that is, or how you would do that?
For me, I see the purpose really coming from a lot more no's than yeses.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The way my purpose revealed itself to me, I had to step into the unknown and trust the universe to bring it forth for me. And it meant starting not with, oh, this is really what I wanted to do, but starting with, this is what I don't want to do. And being able to hold the space where I know that I still don't know. This is one thing that my manifesting, my human design analyst taught me. He trained under Ra, funny enough, the founder of human design. And for me, my mechanism is I know that I still don't know.
Right.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is we're going into the concept of creating a void in the universe. The universe doesn't like voids.
Okay.
One of the constants in the universe is expanding. I think it's like 86 billion kilometers or whatever every second. It's expanded at an incredible rate. It's billions of kilometers every single year. And it's going very quickly, right?
Yeah.
Because the Big Bang, it keeps getting wider and wider. And also over time, the graph and the increase of expansion rates goes larger because the surface area is so huge.
Right.
Anyway, back to the point. So this whole idea of the universe doesn't like voids. When you tell someone to remove a relationship that's not for them, the number one fear they have is, what if I have a void in my life forever?
Right.
This is because on a physical level, they have not conditioned themselves to know how to hold the frequency of emptiness. And the frequency of emptiness is extremely important because spirit moves in four ways, right? Repulsion, attraction, cohesion, and adhesion. Typically, when you start following your path, you kick repulsion first. It's usually the first one. And you kick repulsion first because that makes space for you to attract the things that are cohesive to you and get adhered into missions, visions, people, ideas, philosophies that are more aligned with your core frequency. But you have to go through repulsion. So back to the void. Any void, anything in nature, you take this container, it's empty, you suck out all the air from it. Even if you close off the entire container, there will be sporadic molecules that just flash in the vacuum, come out of nowhere and disappear into nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
Because nature inherently doesn't like voids.
Mm.
When you want to find your purpose, you have to start removing yourself from things that are not aligned and be willing and ready to hold the void and explore in that void. Because no matter how expensive, if you go out and buy a whole bag of Hermes products, right? No matter how expensive it is, if your wardrobe is full and you do not remove the clothes in there first, you cannot put the higher thing in there.
Right.
That removal process is one of the most important. So the point here is, how do you find your purpose? Just really start by removing things that are not aligned for you. Hold the void in your life, and then comes back into discernment, because I can't tell you there's a three-step formula to finding your purpose. Like, anyone who tells you that this is the way to find your ikigai is BS. I see a lot of things out there. It's BS. Go read the Ikigai book. Read it 12 times. You're probably not going to find it. But I'll give you my own, right? I speak. I do stuff in spirituality. I coach people in energetics. I help people transform their lives. Before that, I used to do coaching in crypto investments, right? Because I was really good at helping people understand the underlying aspects of that. While doing that, I made a lot of money when I started doing it. But then for some reason, my energy started dying. And while my energy started dying, I went, huh, this is a path that logically is going to lead me to a lot more success and money. But my spirit wants to go in a very different path, which is the path of what I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I had to surrender into that. The way I surrendered was by committing to my evolution. I started doing the deeper inner work to remove everything that was making me feel like it was impossible to monetize and make money from my voice and to just be and to earn by just being and to raise people's frequency by just being. Because what happened was I went into, and there's a whole reason I'm going through all of this because there are steps, right?
Yeah.
You want to find your purpose. You decide to go, you say no, you hold the void. What's going to start happening is your body is going to start pinging in your direction.
Mm-hmm.
What's typically going to happen is what's stopping you from your purpose is some trauma or something you've experienced that has made you make a decision about your life, about why specifically you cannot live your purpose. So when you hold that void, the force actually invites you to do a deeper level of inner work to go understand what decisions have you made about your life that stops you from expressing your truth. In my case, it was that my voice wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I could speak about everything else except for the things I wanted to speak about. And until I did the work, held the void, I went, huh, I'm really not happy with this. I'm happy to do the work here. Until I did that and started working on that problem, as soon as I started allowing myself to do that, it became easier and easier to just follow the natural path. And my body all of a sudden started to identify that this was my natural path. This speaking thing is cool. I really want to get into this. I really want to share more about this. It just became a massive hit from there. And that's, again, back into authenticity. That frequency was always trying to pull me through. Does that give you a round? I try to give a rounded picture on the different steps. Does that help?
That's perfect. And you ended right back at the beginning, which is like a podcaster's dream to like tie it up all nice and neat with a little.
You're very welcome. That's my
Thank
gift.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gift to you, by the way.
Thank you. I think that, so first of all, like, how do you mean, like, the way that you're able to convey these concepts in such a direct way, I think that there is more to your voice than just the words that are there. So if I can give you any encouragement about if your voice is good enough from a spiritual level, vibrational level, I think you're shaking the dust off people's souls right now. So
that's awesome.
We appreciate you being on the podcast, and it's been an honor to discuss with you these very, very difficult topics that you broke down beautifully for everyone. But before we go, is there anything that you would like to leave our audience, a last thought, a last inspiration, another concept you're chewing on?
I think one of the big things that's come up for me over the weekend is you already know what you need to do. You are your best coach. You are your best guide. You already know what you need to do. Listen to the nudges of spirit. I've had several things in my life that has nudged me into waters that when I wanted to make my first 10 grand, and I love talking about money because it's a lot of people have resistance to it. When I wanted to make my first 10 grand, spirit nudged me in a specific zone. You just have to listen to whatever spirit is pulling you towards and whatever it's inviting you to, because I promise you, you have the answer. The people and the resources that are meant to help you are in front of you. Don't think about the whole journey. Just listen for the next step and take that next step. You would need to invest in yourself, work on yourself, and do all of that. This whole thing is a marathon. I just signed on for a 64-kilometer marathon.
Ooh.
Yes, and I'm scared about it. But the way I've gone through these kinds of long races and arduous things before is by just focusing on the next one. You have it inside of you. You know what you need to do. Go act on that. Ignore the next step. Act on the first one and repeat that process every second, every minute, every day.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on
My
the show,
pleasure.
Adeyemi. And guys, if you like this episode, which I know you did, share it with someone you love, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to connect with me more, head over to patreon.com/thelovelyalia so we can discuss your views about spirituality in our monthly meetings. If this episode spoke to you, please share it and make sure you tag me. And always, if you're looking for some spiritual guidance, you can always find me at thelovelyalia.com for spiritual advising. Thanks again for listening. I hope you have a beautiful week, and we'll see you next week.